You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
There's been a number of stories about James Milner, Alec, coming into this game as well, and Neil Jones did a piece earlier in the week talking about it'll be the end of his stint at Liverpool come the end of the season. Brighton have been mentioned as a potential interested party. I have to say, I mean, if he does leave, he leaves as a Liverpool legend. You know, some people might disagree with that, the same as he disagreed with it with Gini Wijnaldum, which I always found a bit strange as well, because these lads have contributed massively to the success of the football club. And I think it's important to say it's not just about what they've done on the pitch. And certainly in terms of James Milner's kind of influence, it is about him setting standards. It's about some of that cultural stuff as well, where he has been pivotal. You know, the manager will often talk about those people who are instrumental both on and off the pitch. James Milner is one of those people. He couldn't have expected it to go this well in terms of the trophies he's picked up, because he's literally won everything with this football club.
Every single cup, everything. And if you look at the clubs he's been at as well, He's been at so many in his career. I mean, he started off at Leeds and he was with them for eight seasons. And I think if you had to, you know, put a gun to his head, he'd probably say that Leeds are his favourite club. But he's been at Liverpool for the same amount of time as he's been at Leeds. He hasn't been at a football club more than he's been at Liverpool. He leaves a bona fide legend. I mean, I can't really add much apart from he's a consummate professional and I wish him all the best. I'm just surprised, to be honest, that he's decided to go at this point. But I think Brighton's a decent club for him. I think he'll learn a lot from De Zerbi. He'll learn a lot from all the coaches they've got over there. I mean, they're a very well-run football club. I don't think he could go to a better football club. And hopefully, if he does learn his trade over there, he'll come back to Liverpool at some point.
What I'd say, Phil, he's a manager's dream in terms of you could put him anywhere on the pitch and he'll do you the job. I think he's got more quality than maybe one or two people will give him credit for as well. He was coming at to an age where it felt right to me that maybe we moved him on. I think the only thing around that was how much business have Liverpool got to do, and therefore do they just try and keep him around to maybe plug one or two holes? It was interesting that they did seem to try and convince him to stay, which I don't know whether you'd have a view on that, but you always got the sense that maybe his time has come to an end in terms of playing or starting games for Liverpool, but he was always useful to have around the squad and someone who really never really complained either. You know, I've been fortunate enough to interview him for the Anfield Wrap, and you obviously get a sense that he never wants to play fullback, and he's talked about that in interviews, but it never really kind of fed into his performances. You knew what you were getting with James Milner, which was 100% every single time.
I think that the level of professionalism he showed when he got shunted to left back for a season and was excellent at it sums him up, really. I think the keeping him around thing that the Peter tried to do, I'm not necessarily sure it was an on the pitch thing. It was more, I think it was a on the pitch standard setter, a level of professionalism, a dressing room leader. I think if people went to look at, you know, go and look how many minutes he's played the last two seasons, I think people would be really surprised at the number, because I think it's far lower than people think. He comes on for 10 minutes here and there, but he's not starting many games. I think this season he's played more at fullback than he has at centre mid. I think he's played something like 300 minutes in centre mid in the league this season, which really isn't a lot, but it's not really about what he does on the pitch. And I don't think for the last sort of two or three years it has, to be honest. I think he's such a personality and such a presence that there was something you could do around keeping him. Now, the one of the big things, the homegrown rule, I've mentioned homegrown stuff millions of times, apologies for going on about it again, but if we do lose him, the likelihood is we're probably going to have to replace him with an English player, and we're already losing Chamberlain, so it sort of does limit the pool of players you can bring in. So that's a logical reason why you would keep him. And if he's just there as, like, you know, doesn't even need to be on the bench every week, he just needs to be there off, and he offers something because of who he is and how he is. So we will lose something without a shadow of a doubt, and he's just been fantastic, hasn't he?
In terms of his impact, Mo, when people kind of leave football clubs, it's always interesting what others say about them in terms of what they brought to the table. And I can imagine lots of Liverpool players and fans as well will be queuing up to wax lyrical about James Milner and the impact he's had on the club. And this is not me saying he's been perfect in every moment or he's played every game a 10 out of 10. That's not the case at all. But I think in terms of what he's brought to the club, it can't be underestimated. How would you sum him up?
Consistent. And I don't think that's necessarily, like you say, in terms of his performances on the pitch. I think in terms of who he is as a man and who he is as a human. Like, he is himself every day, all day, every day. And when he talks it, he walks it. And that's something that you can trust in a teammate and in someone who you have to kind of listen to sometimes when it's telling you things are uncomfortable. It's funny, though, because you said at the beginning, like, he's somebody you never hear him complain. He does complain. He complains all the time. And the thing that I think is so brilliant about James Milner is
complains in a good way, though, Mel.
Yeah, but this is exactly what I mean, is that he's allowed to complain because everybody knows he's still going to go out there and give 1,000% every single time. And he's still going to try and listen. He's still going to try and hold himself to the high standards he set for everybody else. You're never going to find him slacking. And I think that's why it's so important, because you need someone who's going to dig you out. But you also need to be able to say, look, I respect you enough to dig you out. Like, when you say these things, I listen, because more often than not, you know what you're talking about. So, I mean, Phil's right to say that, like, 300 minutes in central midfield is not a lot at all. And you do think about what Brighton are going to be doing. But the flip side is that I think he's probably made more Premier League appearances than we all expect. Because I looked it up, it's 27 out of 34. So that means that, yes, he's not playing a lot of minutes, but in nearly every game, Klopp's looked at it and thought, I need Milner. This game needs Milner. Whether it's for 4 minutes, whether it's 10 minutes, whether it's 25, this game needs Milner. And I guarantee you, De Zerbi's sitting there thinking, God, I could do with a bit of Milner in this game here right now. I mean, look at the way that they lost that cup semi-final. I mean, for starters, they wouldn't lose it because he'd take the first pen and he'd score it. But also, in terms of how they didn't capitalise when they were on top. How many times do you need someone to be like, look, guys, this is our moment, seize it, and to be able to do in-game management tricks, those little things that we don't see that are so important to players, he is the king of all that. And yeah, I'm not surprised that we tried to keep him on, because even if you are only playing for 2, 3, 4 minutes, like I say, there's still so many times when Klopp needs him. The thing I think, though, in terms of his influence on the team, in terms of him being the guy to be the rubber house, all that kind of stuff, there comes a point where you need to kind of be able to do that stuff on your own. You can't always be relying on Grandad Milner to come in and shout at everyone and light a fire under it. You got to have that in you yourself. He's got to eventually pass on these things to other people, and then you run with it.
Johnny's going to have to pass on. Someone else is going to have to win that lactate test.
I mean, Joe Gomez is absolutely the only one who's happy about Milner leaving. He's like, my time has finally arrived.
Just the last thing on Milner, Alec, before we kind of get the Brentford view. I think what Mo said there is interesting in terms of the influence and stuff, and who's going to pick up that kind of mantle, because someone has to. You know, he is one of the leaders of the dressing room, and you know, Mo's also right to say about the moaning as well. If you think back to that West Ham game where Liverpool score shortly after, I think they bring on Curtis Jones and there's a goal, but Milner's literally having a moan to Jurgen Klopp about being brought off, and then they have a bit of a laugh and a joke because Liverpool score almost immediately. So he was never afraid to voice his opinions and stuff. It is important to have that in and around the dressing room. That's something Liverpool have got to think about, you know, that next transition, that next piece, some of those leaders who are coming through. You want people to be picking up some of that, because it is vitally important to have around the dressing room.
It is, and he led us as well as captain on multiple occasions. But I think we've got enough senior players in the squad at the moment to do that. And hopefully the influence that he has had over these 8 years has rubbed off on those senior players. I mean, you've got Henderson and Van Dijk and Alisson there, of course. I mean, I know we're losing Firmino at the end of the season as well, but I think there's still enough there to sort of keep the complaining going, really, and keep people on their toes. You know, I mean, Henderson's never a shrinking violet, is he? When something's going wrong, you saw him have an argument with Alisson a few matches ago. I've forgotten what that game was, but
Chelsea, I think.
Chelsea, yeah. So I think we've still got enough in terms of the aggression and obviously with Klopp as well. I mean, there's enough ways that people are going to be kept honest at this football club. Sports Social Podcast Network.